Module 6, Listening 2, page 95, exercise 3. You will hear a travel journalist called Lucy Mask and a conservationist called Brian Eckers discussing the issue of ethical travel. For questions 1 to 5, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
On today's programme, we're discussing the whole issue of so-called ethical travel. I'm talking to travel journalist Lucy Mask and conservationist Brian Eckers. Lucy, ethical travel has had a number of names attached to it. Can you explain exactly what makes travel ethical?
Actually, various labels are in play here. We have eco-travel, green travel, sustainable travel, responsible travel. The list goes on. Essentially, these all mean the same thing. The idea of showing respect for the environment and lives of the local community in the places we visit. This underlies the notion of ethical travel. The idea that whatever travel choices we make will have an impact, and we have to make sure it's a positive one. To clarify some of the terms, though, sustainable tourism focuses on the development of a tourist area which will last, so that the intrinsic appeal of the area is not destroyed by tourism. Responsible tourism and the newly coined community-based tourism focus more specifically on ensuring that the economic benefits go directly to the community rather than to some foreign-based travel company.
Would you go along with that definition, Brian?
The truth of the matter is that green labels and terms are used rather loosely. The word green is often used freely for marketing purposes and doesn't always mean that the operator's acting ethically, in other words, considering the needs of the local community every step of the way. And while international watchdog organisations like the Ethical Tourism Journal are pushing for stricter regulations, some travel companies do manage to slip through the net. I think anyone who's concerned about ethical travel needs to be aware of exactly what these labels mean so that they can make an informed decision about their destination.
I also think we should mention that responsible companies generally display official certification of their ethical status now. There's legislation in place in several countries regarding the misuse of labeling. Customers should check out each company's green credentials online, though, just to be sure that they are actually going to get what they sign up for.
Another label we keep hearing about is slow travel. And Brian, you're a member of this movement. I'm a bit confused as to what it means, though. Does it mean we have to travel everywhere on a donkey?
No, not exactly. Though that's a nice idea if you fancy it. No, slow travel is really a small part of the slow movement. It's part of a general reaction against the hectic pace of modern life. By encouraging people to go on self-catering holidays, for example, we hope they'll become more immersed in their destination and have a better time as a result. But although we'd go along with that and other ethical ideas, like reducing air miles or whatever, that's not actually our main focus. Slow travel's more about respecting the tourists' need to unwind and just appreciate the fact of being. People rarely take the time to do this anymore. Although, yes, we do also encourage people to explore an area on foot, by bike, or even on horseback, as you suggest.
And you've been directly involved in the promotion of Stradbroke Island as the world's first slow holiday destination, Brian. Tell us a bit about the project.
Stradbroke Island, off Brisbane in Australia, which attracts quite a few tourists, has set itself up as a slow community. Its aims are fairly simple: to preserve the island's unique environment and cultural identity, and in particular to afford its residents and visitors alike the opportunity to truly enjoy community life. For example, we're trying to enforce stricter speed limits, and our bus service stops where it's safe and convenient for passengers to get on and off. We also celebrate local food as something precious, and oppose the standardisation you get in many tourist spots today.
Yes, I have to say, Brian, much as I really applaud what the movement's trying to do on the island, you know, people there really care about how their actions affect everyone else, and you can't escape that as a visitor, it's everywhere. Much as I applaud that, I wonder if it can be sustained. Sure, even though I was effectively working, I managed to relax and enjoy myself. Everyone was really friendly and kept feeding me, so much so that I put on some weight whilst there. But, you know, will the exposure the island's receiving in the media ultimately have an adverse impact on its environment as the number of visitors increases? I'd rather think not, but that's the thing to keep an eye on.
An interesting point to consider. Let's stop at that point and hear some questions from listeners. So, first on the line we have...
Track 4.